We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Steve Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching, and we believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
I got this word this morning that I actually really feel like is more than a message for the four walls of this building and even for everybody watching online. I really feel like this is one of those messages everybody should get a copy of and send out to as many people as you can. I want to speak to you this morning on our attitude. Because I mean, who with me, we're going to pray in just a moment, which is why I asked you to stay standing. Who with me would agree that if you just listen to what's happening in the world today and the reaction to people's opinions for and against, and some of the just like, am I the only one that thinks this? Or I'm thinking sometimes, are people losing their mind? I mean, am I losing my mind? I mean, anybody else think this? Okay, so I think, and there's a lot of things that come up in people's minds and attitudes that come up, and I'm just thinking to myself, I really felt like the Holy Spirit prompted me to actually preach this message, but I believe it's more than a message for today. I believe it's a message that's got to go out. So I'm going to ask everybody, once you hear this word, would you get a hold of it, and would you send it out to as many people? And don't send it to someone going, I heard this message and I thought of you. Just say, hey, this message maybe challenged me and I just thought maybe it might bless you. Is that good? And so it's attitude. We're going to pray. You ready? Everybody, come on, online, wherever you are. Hey, you're watching online, but listen to me now. Stay focused because we're about to come around the word of the Lord. So put your coffee down and let's pray. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for your word that is alive and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. I'm asking God today, help us to hear, but not just hear, but to help us, Lord, put into practice what I know that you've put in my heart for me to share. Amen. I believe with all my heart, see if you'll agree with me, that 90% of what comes out of our life or what determines the quality of our life, I believe, reflects right back to our attitude. 90% of how well we do life, I believe, is reflected by our attitude. Now, I know some people that might want to challenge that high reference, that high percentage, because some people might say, no. Surely skill, what happens and how well we do well in life is determined by our skill. But the truth is you can be very skillful and have a bad attitude. And even though you're skillful, life isn't going to go well for you with a bad attitude. Are you hearing me? Matter of fact, it seems to me that the more skilled you are in some area, the more potential, if you're with a bad attitude, the more potential you have to just be a jerk. Okay, it's very quiet. Okay, let's get going here. This is Wave Church. I know I haven't been here in two Sundays, but come on, give me some response here. Like, think about it. I think 90% of what happens to us in life is determined by our attitude. That how well we do in life will be determined by our attitude. Yes, education counts. Yes, socioeconomic. Yes, all sorts of things will help improve the quality of their life. But I've seen people with all of those things with a bad attitude do nowhere near as successful as people who just got a good attitude toward life. Are you hearing me? And I just want to say that I want to ask this morning. I want to ask everybody online. Come on, stay with me now. The challenge with being online in this season is you can get distracted so easily, whereas being in church is actually a little bit more, you know, centered attention. So I just need you to work extra hard online. I want to ask you a question this morning. Do we have the mind of Christ? And actually, can we know the mind of Christ? I want to show a couple of scriptures here. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So the Bible's saying that we can actually have the same mind of Christ. It's not just saying it will be good for the greatest aspiration. It's saying, let this mind be in you, which was the same mind that was in Christ. And then it goes, who being in the form of God, watch this, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ. And what did Christ have? Thought it not robbery to be equal with Christ. Amen. You should think that. Yep. Let that mind be in you. Okay, it's very quiet now. In other words, it is possible to have the mind of Christ. And it tells us that we can have the same mind of Christ, but then it tells us what the mind of Christ is. Who thought it not robbery to be God's equal? Now, I don't think for a minute anybody should sit here and think you are God. But I think everybody in here should have the mind of Christ, who thought it not robbery to be equal to God. And what I mean by that is Christ has made us joint heirs with him, that we are joint heirs with Christ. In other words, we are not God, for God created us. We're created human beings. So therefore, we are not sovereign. Does that make sense? But we are, and you know, we have been made eternal because we're being created by God, and we will be eternal, but we are not sovereign. We did not create ourselves. God created us. But because of Christ and the work of the cross, that the Bible tells me that we've been joint heirs with Christ. So the Bible says, let this mind be in you. I want you to catch it because I want to convince you of this. The Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be with God. Let that mind be in you. That God has made us joint heirs with him. And listen to what it goes on and says now, because it says, and he made himself of no reputation. Let that mind be in you. It says here, and took on the form of a servant, let that mind be in you, was made into the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as of man, watch this, he humbled himself, let that mind be in you, and became obedient to death, even to the death of the cross. I want to encourage us here that the Bible is saying we can actually have the mind of Christ. And it tells us what his mind was. That through the work that Jesus did on the cross, we have been made God's joint heirs. Are you hearing me? And then it goes on and says in Isaiah 55, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are my ways your ways my ways, excuse me, declares the Lord, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So again, I want to make it clear, the Bible's not saying we can't know the ways of God. I already know that's true because the Bible tells me that God showed to the people of Israel his acts, but he showed to Moses his ways. So it is possible to know the ways of God. And the Bible says, but my ways are not your ways. My ways are what? Higher. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are? So it's not that we can't know the thoughts of God. It's just if we're going to know them, we need to know where they are compared to where we sit. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think according to the power that works within us. Amen. Just this week, my daughter Alyssa and her husband put their house on the market, and they were praying for full asking price, and they were praying for no closing cost in, you know, if you're going to sell a house, that's what you want. That's a good prayer. Full asking price and no closing cost. And I said, why don't we believe even for more than that? And they ended up getting, I think it was $15,000 more than their asking price in a day. They had five offers to choose from. And I just think to myself, we need to think bigger thoughts. We need to think that God can bless us. We need to think how God thinks, over and above, exceedingly and abundantly. Now, if you're asking some ridiculous price, that's another story. But you understand what I'm saying? So I just believe we need to know. And the Bible goes on and says this, watch this. It says that in Romans 15, verse 5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you. And if ever there's a Bible verse for today in today's world, this is it. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Christ Jesus had. May the God of endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude toward others as Christ Jesus had. I'm just saying, in today's world, I'm just seeing a whole lot of people talking to each other like they are your absolute enemy. And I'm seeing people actually now have a harshness and an intolerance to another person's perspective and point of view. And I'm just reading the scripture here, and I'm thinking, at least if Christians get this right, it would be a good start. That we ought to have endurance and encouragement toward others with the same mind that Christ had toward others. Anybody say amen? Romans 12, it goes in verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then when you've renewed your mind, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. So here's the thought. You cannot know the will of God without a renewed mind. Matter of fact, you will never know the will of God. You will never please God. You will never be able to prove the will of God until you are constantly committed to this idea of not being conformed to the pattern of this world. And this world has a pattern. Yes, that's right. And this world has never been more polarized in its thinking and its intolerance and its indifference toward other people as it is today. And I'm thinking, where are the people who've got a good attitude in the mind of Christ? And we need to stop attacking each other. Come on, somebody. Somebody say amen. And so I'm just thinking, it's not that we can't know the thoughts of God. It's not that we can't think the thoughts of God. It's not that we can't know the ways of God, but we've got to elevate our thinking. Come on, somebody. It's not that we can't have the mind of Christ. It's just that we need to be willing to adjust our thinking, and we need to be willing to renew our mind. And I believe your attitude affects your whole life. Here's the first thing I want to say. The Word of God is able to judge your attitude. You're not. But only the Word of God can judge your attitude. And listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4. For the Word of God is alive and active. How many believe that's true? It is. But the truth is, the Word of God is only alive and active to those who are in the Word of God. I mean, it is alive and it is active. If you're not in the Word, it's not alive to you. And it sure isn't active to you. Come on, somebody. It's only alive and active for those who are in the Word of God. And listen what it goes on and says. I know I'm not supposed to get down there. See what they've done? They're very cheeky. There's normally a step that comes out here when they put this stage out all the way, and they've not let that step come out to keep me from getting down. But you got to know, this pastor will not be controlled like that. Praise the Lord. Those naughty people, praise the Lord. Okay, it says here, for the Word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. I mean, Gillette would die to have the sharpness in their razor blades that the Word of God has. It is alive, it is active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Watch this, it penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit. I want you to notice that word's very important. It penetrates, it is so sharp and it's so alive, it penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit. Now, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. It is the man part of you. It is the carnal side of you. It is the worldly. And I don't mean evil, but it's unrenewed. It's your mind. It's your will. And it's your emotions. How many have used your will consciously at times to do things that you knew God would not be pleased with? I got my hand up. Are you hearing me? That's the man side. I choose. I have my will. I can choose to obey God or I can choose to disobey God. I can choose to tithe or not to tithe. I have my will. You hearing me? I can choose to eat healthy or I can choose to eat unhealthy. It's my will. Now, the Word of God has things to say about all those things, but I exercise my will. Does that make sense? Okay. I can choose to forgive or not to forgive. It's my will. That's the man side of me. And the Word of God is so sharp that it's sharp enough even to the dividing between your mind, your will, and your emotions. I choose my thoughts. I choose my emotions. Come on. They don't choose me. I choose them. I choose to allow to be angry or not to be angry. And sometimes being angry is not sinful. Be angry and sin not, the Bible says. Some things make me angry and I'm not in sin in my anger. Okay, come on, someone talk back to me now. Okay, so that's the man part of you. But the Word of God, and who's ever thought to yourself when you're in prayer, was that me or was that God? Who's ever... Anybody ever thought? Well, that's because your soul and your spirit are so closely intertwined that the only thing that's sharp enough to discern what is man and what is God is the Word of God. They are that closely interwoven to each other. And let me just say this to you. You got that thought now? Because watch what happens here. It says it penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges. Everybody say it judges. Come on, online. I need you to stay with me. It judges, watch this, the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. The Word of God is alive and active. Are you catching it? Sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing of that which is the man side of you and that which is the spirit God side of you. And it judges the thoughts and the intents and the attitudes of the heart. Yeah, okay, so here's the thought now. Watch it. If you're not in the Word, you will lack discernment and wisdom. Because only the Word of God is alive and active and sharp enough to penetrate between that which is God and that which is man. And if you're not in the Word, you'll have no clue. I mean, don't get me wrong. You can make good decisions. You can make good decisions about your health. And that's a good man decision. That's a good will decision. But you'll never have spiritual insight, understanding, or wisdom if you're not in the Word of God. And not only is the Word of God doing help us to have discernment and wisdom, but you will judge wrongly. Because only the Word of God can judge. Come on, somebody. Matter of fact, I just this week heard a reporter on one of the major news networks, I think it was CNN, I heard him say something, and if I heard a reporter say something on Fox like this person said, I would rebuke it just as swiftly as I would somebody on CNN. It just this one happened to be CNN. And I've heard people say things on Fox I would rebuke just as quick. And heard him say, he says, and he's speaking to a younger audience. Millions of people are watching. And I got so mad. He said, I just want to tell everybody out there that Jesus wasn't perfect. And I went, well, I don't care who you are. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says Jesus is perfect, was perfect. He who was without sin became sin. Come on, somebody. But again, you outside the Word of God, you will judge wrongly. And that man judged wrongly. He ought to be corrected for that statement. Anybody say amen? Okay, so firstly, the Word of God is able to judge your attitude. And that's what we need to align ourselves with, not what the world's thinking. Secondly, we're able to control our attitude. Did you know that? Matter of fact, I got this young guy in Bible school back in the, when was it, honey? Back in the 90s when I was running Hillsong College. And there's this young man, pastor's kid, and just one of those broken pastor's kids. The pastor wasn't a pastor in the church that I was a part of, but his son was in our Bible college. And he was jacked up. And his dad was a legalistic preacher, not the nicest preacher you'd ever meet in your life. But I understood the son was rebelling against some of the things that his father was preaching. And his dad, to be honest with you, is just mean. Wasn't just a mean Pentecostal preacher is what he was. Everything was sinful. Everything was worldly. Everything was carnal. You couldn't really enjoy and have a life of abundance. And so I understood that the son was jacked up, and it had as much to do with maybe how he's raised. So he's rebelling against everything his father represents. So he comes to Bible school, and now he's rebelling against everything there. And this guy had the worst attitude I've ever met of any young man that has ever set foot in a Bible school that I've been personally involved in training and mentoring. I've never seen. To this day, probably the most jacked up young guy I've ever come across. And I used to always say to him, man, it's your attitude. It's your attitude. Your attitude's going to determine how far you go in life. You've got everything going for you. You've got a heritage. You've got a call. You've got a passion. But your attitude, he was always wanting to be the rebel. He was always wanting to be one that never blended. And he would do things. One night he got beaten up at 2 o'clock in the morning. He was out in a bar and a club. I said, dude, what are you doing out at 2 o'clock in the morning in a bar and a club? I mean, right there, that's an indication of where your life is. You pitched your tent towards Sodom. And he goes, and I used to say to him, attitude, man, attitude. And he says, I'm so sick of you talking about my attitude. I've got an attitude about attitude. And he goes, I'm sick of it. Stop telling me about my attitude. Well, one day he decides he's going to start a clothing company called Attitude. And this is the true story. He made millions of dollars out of a clothing label called Attitude. And I got to tell you, for the most part, he really did turn his life around and begin to try to get himself together. Isn't it funny how that something that God's trying to bring home to you, if you get it right, how God can bless you. And I just want to say to you, I believe you control your attitude. Other people don't control your attitude. Matter of fact, listen what it says in Ephesians 4, verse 23. We are to be made new, watch this, in the attitude of our minds. It's not what others do to us that determine our attitude. John Maxwell puts it this way, circumstances do not make you what you are, they reveal what you are. I want you to hear that again. Circumstances do not make you what you are, they reveal what you are. Did you hear it? Sharon and I have friends who pastor a church in Texas, in Austin, and they lost their son, a teenage boy, 17 years of age, fell asleep driving his car behind the wheel 5 minutes from his house, and he died. Now, I don't know about you, but any parent that goes through the loss of a child, they have got my permission to not cope with that. And I will show all the mercy and compassion and understanding in the world. Would you agree? And I remember watching this couple navigate the loss of their teenage son. And I watched them lean into God like never before. I watched them help their children, the other children, deal with the grief of that. And if you met them today, you would never know they've been such through unbelievable grief. See, circumstances don't really determine who we are. They reveal who we are. And I'm telling you, they don't have the smoke of bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment toward God, and they've gone on and built their family, not without challenges, as you have the whole family's dealing with that grief. And can I just say to you, come on, adversity introduces you to yourself. You find out what's really in you when the pressure's on. Somebody say amen. So here's the third thought I want to give you. Your attitude is a weapon. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to ask the singers, musicians to come, not just yet. Would you just stay there until I get to my fourth point? Your attitude is a weapon. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, watch this now. Come on, online. Watch this. Arm yourselves with the same attitude. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself with the same attitude. Watch. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. So the Bible's saying, if Christ suffered, and we know he did, then we're going to suffer. If Jesus went through hardships in his life, being the Son of God, then we who are joint heirs with Christ are going to arm ourselves with the same attitude. Well, if Jesus went through some stuff, we're going to go through some stuff. Are you hearing me? And let me tell you, you need to arm yourself. It's a weapon. It is a weapon that'll help you do well in life. If you arm yourself, a weapon, come on, it's like having a .45 strapped to your hip. Come on, somebody. It's having a weapon. You are armed and you are ready. Jesus went through tough times, went through hardships, suffered in his body. I'm going to sometimes be not popular to the world because I choose to have the mind of Christ, which is contrary to the mind of the world. And the world will not always like the way I think or speak. But I will stand with the word of God, and I will stand. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but God's word shall remain forever. And if Christ said it, I believe it. That settles it. I'm lining up with the wisdom of the word of God. This mindset, this attitude keeps us from the fear of man. It keeps us from just compromising and living in the political correctness. Come on, somebody. It helps us to be people. We're armed. I understand the world's not always going to like everything that the Bible stands for. Amen. The world doesn't like calling sin, sin. The world wants to redefine the nuclear family. I don't. God's best is a man and a woman, a husband and a wife with children. That's God's best. Now, we live in a world that's fallen and broken, but that is God's best. And I'm living to the wisdom of the word of God. Come on, somebody. Okay, number four. Watch this. Your attitude can cause you to burn with anger and regret your actions. Listen to this verse. See if you don't tell me it doesn't relate to today's culture. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, three Hebrew boys. And his attitude toward them changed. Okay? Now, in other words, when it says his attitude toward them changed, it's saying that he had an attitude toward them that was this, and now all of a sudden it's something else. How many know people's attitudes toward people can change? I mean, I know people's attitude toward me has changed over years. You know what I mean? I've had people tell me, Pastor, you're the most anointed man in America. Only 3 weeks later, they don't think that anymore. People's attitudes can change. Are you hearing me? Okay, but watch what happens here. This is where these three Hebrew boys refused to bow down to the image the king made. And the king said, if you don't bow down, I'll throw you in the furnace. I made this and you will worship me, not your God. And they said, well, king, do whatever you want to do, but we will not bow. And it's in that context that says his attitude toward them changed. And look what the Bible says. Tell me this isn't today. And he ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual. That's like saying to someone, I'm going to kill you till you die. You with me here? And I'm telling you, in the culture we live in today and the attitude some Christians have toward others right now, it's like if you won't bow to a way in which people think, not only their attitude toward you changes, but they get angrier 7 times more than they ever had before. We live in a world that actually, if I disagree with you, then I will crush you. And I will bring hell and heaven and everything against you 7 times more than what is even proportionate to what they would have done because their attitude changed. And I'm going to tell you, that king regretted what he said. Because let me tell you, God danced with them in that fire. And then he turned around and his attitude changed again. From now on, we all worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. Can I just say to you, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let's be careful of our attitude. Let's make sure we got the mind of Christ. Can anybody say amen? See, I think this is good preaching. I think if I was online watching, I'd be standing up in my lounge room right now. Amen. And I want to close out with this simple thought. I want you to write this down because I'm going to go real fast. A positive attitude will always let you do everything better than a negative attitude. Would you agree with that? Like if you're being told as a child, hey, young people, you know, put out the trash. Well, number one, I don't care if you got a good or a bad attitude, you're putting the trash out. You with me here? But a positive attitude will always cause you to just live life better than a negative attitude. Thank you for the underwhelming response. So here's the thought. Negativity takes away or removes creativity. Doesn't it? Negativity is the easiest path to go down. The Bible says broad is the path that leads to destruction. How many agree if you're on the path of destruction, it's not a positive path. It's a negative path. Are you hearing me? But the Bible says broad is the road to negativity. Many travel on it, but narrow is the road to eternal life. Are you catching this? So here's the thought. Negativity will always lead you to less. Negativity will always shrink your life. You won't take risks. Negativity kills problem solving. Negativity, listen, resists and silences, come on, positivity. Negativity loves negative company. It's funny. Oh, you feel the same way I do? Total stranger. They're like your brother you've never met for your whole life. Okay, listen to this. Negativity, I think about it, you're not excited about the future. There's no excitement for the future. Negativity can't keep friends. If you're a negative person, you might make friends, but let's see how long you keep them. And the ones you do keep will be a lot like you. All right, I'm going to keep preaching. Okay, negativity loves to live in the past. Negativity loves to judge others. And negativity is where you don't trust people and you can only sing the blues. Amen. Negativity reduces your IQ. It makes you unhealthy. You can get sick through negative mindsets. Your attitude, not your aptitude, will determine your altitude. That's by Zig Ziglar. Nobody can sustain right results over the course of their life with a continual bad attitude. That's Steve Kelly. Your attitude determines the course of your life. Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Your heart is your attitude. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. You are the product of your thought life. You and I are the product of our attitude. Come on, somebody. Come on, are you catching it? Guard your heart, Proverbs 4:23, with all diligence, for out of it determines or flows the springs of life. Another translation puts it even better. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the boundaries of your life are determined. See, it's not your parents that raised you that determines the boundaries of your life. It's not your economic strength that determines the boundaries of your life. It's not your education that determines the boundaries of your life. Come on, it's not who you married, what city you live in. Come on. It's how well you guard your heart, your attitude. Are you catching it? So what does positive thinking do? Positive thinking, what's the others want to be around them? Other people want to be around positive people. Can we be honest for a minute? Come on, everybody online, everybody, I want you to reach out to us. I want you to respond online to this question. I'm going to ask everybody here in this campus right here. Listen, how many honestly have had dinner with someone or spent time with somebody that was new to you, and when you met them, you went, what a breath of fresh air. I'd love to get with them again. I mean, who's ever had people like that in your life? Anybody? Okay, now be honest. How many have ever had time with somebody and you just went to myself, dear God, that is probably one of the most negative persons, and you're not planning your next event with them? Anybody? I got my hand raised. I want to make sure I'm the guy that's positive, not negative. I want to make sure I'm the kind of person where others enjoy being around. Can anybody say amen? Positivity, being a positive person, means you're a problem solver. You're future orientated. You're a high road person. When you're a person with a positive attitude, you are forgiving. Amen. You are optimistic. Life is better just by choosing to have a positive attitude. Can I tell you, laughter and joy are a part of your life. And how to know if you're a negative or a positive person? In the last 6 months, when was the last time you had a really good laugh? What's something that really made you just look back and just laugh? Amen. And not only that, but when you're a positive person, you're not singing the blues. Amen. There's a song inside of you. And you can be in barrenness. Sing, O barren woman. For you will have more children than those who actually are just naturally able to reproduce. Even in barrenness, there's a song in someone who chooses to be positive. And a positive attitude is somebody who knows the power of a good report. And I got to tell you, in this day in which we live, with a lot of unrest with people's thoughts and opinions toward race, in this day in which we live, a lot of people have opinions about COVID, about whether COVID's right or wrong. And it depends on, and unfortunately, it does depend on where you sit and what you listen to politically to determine what you think. Are you hearing me? And it's become that because it's an election year. Go figure. You with me here? And I just want to say this to you. Listen to me. I want you to catch this now. Just this week, I was actually having lunch at Sam's, Big Sam's, whatever it's called. It's a little restaurant down at Rudy Inlet. One of our pastors, it was his birthday. I was going down there to celebrate with him. And so I didn't have my car. I brought my motorcycle. And I didn't have a mask in my motorcycle, and I forgot the mask. So I went to the front of the restaurant, and I said to him, I said, oh, listen, I'm so sorry. I brought my motorcycle. I don't have a mask in my motorcycle. I have one in my car. There's one sitting in my car right now. Because I will respect the request and the requirements of the environment. I can choose to go in or not go in, but I will respect them. You with me here? And so I said, look, I didn't bring my mask. Is it okay if I just do this? Until I just sit down, because that's at least covering my face, which is what's required. And she says, if you don't have a mask, you are not welcome in this establishment. I said, fine, no problem. But the people behind me, they don't even know who I am, got so angry at this girl and said, that's ridiculous. Now, by the way, I too thought that was ridiculous. Are you hearing me? But I understand that that restaurant owner is telling his staff, hey, I could lose my business if we don't enforce these rules. And three restaurants that week in the city of Virginia Beach lost its license over that very issue. So I understand she's just doing what the boss told her, and the boss is just doing everything he can to protect his or her establishment. But I think no problem. And I turned to these people who were yelling at her. I said, stop, you don't know me. I'm not offended. Why are you offended when it's me who's not offended? She's doing a job. Leave her alone. Don't be that guy. Stop. Amen, church? And I just don't know what's going on. I think people lost their minds. It's like they're looking for a fight. They're looking for an argument. Now, I also said, thank you. I won't eat here then, because this should have been okay. Because the moment I sat down, I'm having a glass of water. Are you hearing me? So I went to another restaurant. Unfortunately, the three, four pastors I was going to have lunch with, I said, guys, I can't go in there. They won't let me in there. And I went to another restaurant. I said, can I just do this until I sit down? They said, of course you can. Please come on in. Neither one of them knew me. There was no favors going on here. And that restaurant missed out on my business, and that one got it. Then the other four pastors actually weren't able to get in, and they came and joined me. So now this restaurant got four times the amount of business than that restaurant got. Are you hearing me? But I'm not trying to win a war that I'm not supposed to be fighting. I appreciate the fact that all their volunteers wear masks every Sunday morning. I honor them and I thank them. I really do. When it comes to coming into our auditorium, I want to make sure people are wearing masks. What we do when part of our religious service, we don't have to all wear a mask, but you can if you want to. And I would encourage you to do so. But the moment this service is over, I'll be in those doors and I will be in a mask. Are you hearing me? And I just want to say, can we just be Christians? Can we be? Don't be the Karen. I know some people don't like me saying that. I just don't care. I just don't care. Just don't be that guy. Don't be that girl. And let's not curse the darkness. Let's light a candle. Can you say amen? And let's love each other. And let have the same attitude that as Christ endured and as Christ encouraged to love others as he loved others. Can anybody say amen? Attitude. I believe it's a word in season for our, not just our church, but I believe it's a message we're going to give out to as many people, because it's your attitude that determines how far you go in life. Can anybody say amen? Come on, give the Lord a hand if you receive the word. Thank you, guys, for being here. Praise the Lord. Are you doing good? You doing good? Was that a good word? Attitude. Margaret, you have many people that you've employed for many years. Someone can have the greatest resume in all the world, can look like the best person in the world, but if you sense they've got a negative attitude, no matter how good their resume is, who are you going to choose? You're not going to choose them. Are you hearing me? You can have it all on paper. You can cross all the T's. You can dot all the I's. But your attitude determines how far you go in life and how far life goes for you. Amen? If you're a person that's always late for work, you will not get promoted. Come on. If you're a person that's always dissing on your spouse, you will not have a happy marriage. Can you say amen to that? If you're a victim and always blaming other people for why you are the way you are, life will never be good for you. It's your attitude. It is your attitude that determines how far you go in life. Can you say amen? I got a bad attitude this morning. I was driving from Seaboard Road back to Great Neck, and they decided in their infinite wisdom to close Laskin Road and First Colonial and made you reroute a completely different way. And I have but only 20 minutes to get from preaching at Seaboard Road to preach here at the 9 o'clock service. And we had to do a major reroute. And I'm joking about saying to the service here, why I'm sorry I'm late because of traffic problems. And how funny is this? As I'm talking about it, one of the policemen who was there working that intersection was watching us online in his car and said, sorry, Pastor, I'm the policeman that shut down the intersection. So then I thought, this is too good to be true. I said, that's awesome. But Len, how hard are you working if you're sitting there watching me online? Come on, let's have a right attitude. I wonder what you think about God. I wonder if you think God hates you. I want to talk to everybody online. I want to talk to you for a moment about your relationship with Jesus. Listen to what the Bible says. I know the thoughts I have for you, declares the Lord, to give you a future and to give you a hope. Plans to bless you and not to harm you. That's what God's thoughts are toward you. I don't know how well you know Him. I don't know how much of a relationship you have with Jesus. But let me tell you what God's plans are toward you. His plans are to bless you and not to harm you. His plans are to give you a future and to give you a hope. Maybe you met a Christian that turned you off God. You know, people say to me, church is full of hypocrites. I go, yes, it is. And there's room for you. Amen. We're all broken people. We all need Jesus. I want to pray for you and everybody online. If you want to make this decision, I want to give my life to Jesus, would you please click that button right there on the screen? And everybody here in this auditorium listening to the sound of my voice, look at me now. Everybody, look at me. Do you know Jesus? Do you know what it is to be forgiven of your sins? Do you know what it is to have newness of life? Have you ever had, listen to me, have you ever had a life-changing encounter with Jesus Christ? I want to pray for anyone and everyone who says, Steve, pray for me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to get right with God. I want to pray for anyone here this morning, and maybe you once were living for God, but you know today that you're not living for Him like you once were. And you know today that you need to get right with God. You need to say, God, I'm coming back to you. God, I'm renewing my mind. God, I'm giving my life again to you all over this building. I'm going to ask you, if you're making that decision online, to click that button right now. But I'm asking everybody in this auditorium, just for a moment, to close your eyes and bow your heads. And friend, if that is you and you say, Steve, pray for me, would you lift your hand right now and say, Steve, you're talking to me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to get right with God. I want to know this God that you speak of that has got good plans for me to bless me and to prosper me. God bless you, sir. Who else will lift your hand? Hold it up high enough and long enough for me to see it so I can pray with you and for you. God bless you. Way up the back, I see your hand. Who else this morning? Come on, lift it up. Lift it up nice and high. Give it a wave if I haven't seen it, because I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you in the name of Jesus. Anyone else? Come on, lift your hand right now. Steve, I want to come back to God. Steve, I want to get right with God. Everybody online, you click that button. Come on, church, pray. Pray for the person beside you, behind you, around you. Who else would just lift your hand? Who else will make that decision? Click that button there in Jesus' name. My last call, if you haven't lifted your hand, but you know you should, lift it right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, can we give a lot of hand for every single person? Let's pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today. Now, come on, you gotta lift your voice. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you today to come into my life to forgive me of my sins. I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give a Lord a hand.
We hope you enjoyed this message by Pastor Steve Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Steve at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.